Amen. Good morning. Everybody okay? No doubt we're missing an hour of sleep. No doubt about that. You know, I'm grateful that God has blessed us with incredibly gifted people. But you know, I'm even more grateful that God places on their hearts to week after week to come and use those gifts to lift high the name of Jesus. You know, and so for all of those who make these things happen on Sunday morning, our worship band, our technology folks, Pastor Matt, he puts all this stuff together week after week. And I'm just grateful for these folks and the way in which they use their gifts. Amen. Absolutely. Well, I am delighted to be with you this morning. My name is Skeeter Thompson. If you're a guest here, I'm one of the pastors here at Sunrise. And I am blessed and honored to be able to come and preach this morning. Just a couple of things, just so you'll know. I wanted to take a minute just to say thank you to everyone who participated and helped out this past Friday in our golf tournament. We had a fundraising golf tournament for our students. We have a group going to Alaska this summer on a mission trip. We also have students going to be going to a leadership conference in Washington, D.C. this summer. And so we were trying to help these families, these students, raise money to be able to go. And this past weekend, on Friday, through our golf tournament, we raised over $5,000 for these students to be able to go. And so thank you for all of your help. Many of you came and played in the golf tournament. Some of you were there helping work. Some of you were whole sponsors for us, and we greatly appreciate it. So thank you for all that you did to make Friday a huge success for us. Also, continue to be in prayer for Miss Sandra, Dr. Tim's wife. Just going to have another surgery this Friday. Just continue to pray for them and just lift them up. The procedure that she had done this past week just kind of related that there were some other things that needed to happen. Things are still great. They still look good. She's doing well. But she's at home resting this morning, and so Dr. Tim was going to stay there and be with her. And I told him that really wasn't the case. I told him he just wanted an extra hour of sleep, and he didn't want to hear me preach. But that is what it is. But it is good to be here with you this morning. This morning, we're going to continue in our series, Hope for the World. And I want to begin this morning by just sharing with you just a story that I kind of stumbled across some time ago, and I saved this, and it just kind of fit with where we're going to go today. Ross Patterson wrote a book entitled The Antioch Factor, and in this book, he tells this story. He says, on a dangerous seacoast where shipwrecks often occur, there was once a little life-saving station. The building was primitive, and there was just one boat. But the members of the life-saving station were committed, and they kept a constant watch over the sea. When a ship went down, they unselfishly went out day or night to save the lost. Because so many lives were saved by that station, it became famous. Consequently, many people wanted to associate with the station. They wanted to give their time. They wanted to give their talent. They wanted to even give their money to support its important work. New boats were bought. New crews were recruited. A formal training session was offered. As the membership in the life-saving station grew, some of the members became unhappy that the building was so primitive and the equipment was so outdated. They wanted a better place to welcome the survivors that were pulled from the sea. So they replaced the emergency cots with beds and put better furniture in the enlarged and newly decorated building. Now the life-saving station became a popular gathering place for its members. They met regularly, and when they did, it was apparent how much they loved one another. They greeted each other. They hugged one another. They shared with one another the events that had been going on in their lives throughout the week. But fewer members were now interested in going to the sea and saving lives. So they hired lifeboat crews to do this work for them. About this time, a large ship was wrecked off of the coast and it had many injured. The hired crew brought into the life-saving station boatloads of cold, wet, dirty, sick, and half-drowned people. Some of them had black skin. Some of them had yellow skin. Some of them could speak English well, and some could hardly speak it at all. Some were first-class cabin passengers of the ship, and some were the deckhands. The beautiful meeting place became a place of chaos. The plush carpets got dirty. Some of the exquisite furniture got scratched and even ruined. So the properties committee immediately had a shower built outside of the house where the victims of the shipwreck could be cleaned up before coming inside. At the next meeting, there was a rift in the membership. Most of the members wanted to stop the club's life-saving activities altogether, for they were unpleasant and a hindrance to the normal fellowship of the members. Others members insisted that life-saving was their primary purpose and pointed out that they were still called a life-saving station. But they were finally voted down and told that if they wanted to save the lives of all those various kinds of people who would be shipwrecked, they could begin their own life-saving station down the coast. And you know what? That's what they did. As the years passed, the new station experienced the same changes that had occurred in the old. It evolved into a place to meet regularly for fellowship, for committee meetings, and for special training sessions about their mission. But few went out to the drowning people. The drowning people were no longer welcomed in that new life-saving station. So another life station was founded further down the coast. And history continued to repeat itself. And if you visit that coast today, you will find a number of adequate meeting places with ample parking and plush carpeting. However, in that area, shipwrecks are frequent. But sadly enough, most of the people drowned. I wonder how many wrecks are happening all around us. Wrecked homes, wrecked marriages, wrecked lives, wrecked jobs. Wrecks all around us are happening. And I wonder how many people are drowning. I wonder how many people around us are hurting and in desperate need of the hope that we have that is found in Jesus Christ. But yet that message is going untold. See, somehow, some way, the church has lost its focus. We have somehow lost our primary purpose. Beloved, there are many purposes of the church today. I understand that. I studied that in seminary. I think made a good grade in that class. Miracle of God and one of a few. But the reality is this, yeah, the church is a place for fellowship. The church is a place to come and to worship. The church is a place to grow disciples. The church is a place to come and do ministry together. I understand all that. But when the church forgets that its primary purpose is to take the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, we are missing it. Did you know that this week, a Gallup International poll tells us that between 110 and 120 million people will go to church. This week, most of them today, they will go to church in the United States of America. Let me put that into perspective for you. You take all of the Major League Baseball games that were played in 2017, all of them. You take all of those and you add them to all of the people that attended the National Football League games, all of them. You take all the games in baseball, all the games in football, put them together for the entire year. And there will be more people in church than attend those events through for a whole year. And we're talking about in a week. But yet somehow our world continues to move in a direction away from God. How is that happening? How is that possible? I believe it's because we've lost our focus. I believe it's because we have lost our focus as a church. I hope you have your Bibles with you this morning. I want you to take them and open them to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want us to look together beginning in verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. Listen to what it says. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Here's what he says. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all. And therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ this way, we do so no longer. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Beloved, I don't know about you, but that's good news. That is good news for us this morning. That God loved us so much that he sent his son to reconcile us unto himself. That is good news. And that is a great message for the church today. But here's my question. What is the gospel of Jesus doing to the church today? What is the gospel doing to the church today? Now understand, when I'm talking about the church, I want to make this real clear, because I don't want anybody going out of here thinking I'm a nut. Well, I'm in trouble. Okay, I want to make sure we're real clear here. When I'm speaking about the church, I'm talking about us. I'm not talking about the building. I'm not talking about the location. We say, I'm going to go to the church. We say, we're thinking of a location. I'm not talking about a location. I'm not talking about a building. We go do things with the church, an event. I'm not talking about the events. I'm talking about the church, the people. We are the church. And so my question this morning is, what is the gospel doing to the church? In other words, what is the gospel doing to you and to me? The word gospel comes from the word evangel. The word evangel or evangelism literally means good news. There is good news for the church today, but what is it doing and how is it changing us? First thing I want you to see this morning is I believe that truly the church is only changed by the gospel. I believe the church is only changed by the gospel. Listen, a lot of things can take place in a church, but until we open our hearts and minds to the good news of Jesus, we won't be changed. We'll just sort of be, there's a lot of churches that are going on this morning, and I don't believe the gospel's any part of it. I believe they just gather together and meet together and have a good time together and they love one another and it's a great club. But I don't believe the good news, the power of the gospel does anything in that fellowship and in that body, and it never changes anything. They come in one Sunday, they go out that Sunday, they come back the next Sunday, they go out the next day. I asked our students this past Wednesday night, if the Holy Spirit, now, I'm going to make an assumption that you all understand the work of the Holy Spirit and understand all about the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to make that assumption. Probably shouldn't, but I'm going to. But you remember when, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached and the Holy Spirit fell on that place and literally thousands were saved. Jesus said that Holy Spirit was going to be with us. And I believe the Holy Spirit is alive and is present and is in this place this morning. And I'm here to tell you, if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be standing here. Because we have nothing on our own. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do anything. The opportunities are just limitless. But here's what I've wondered. If all of a sudden God just removed the Holy Spirit completely, I wonder how many churches would even notice that it was gone. I wonder how many churches would just do the same old thing week after week after week with the power of the Holy Spirit completely gone. And they would never even notice. When we're involved in the good news, the gospel of Jesus and the power that's there, I believe the church will be changed. As a matter of fact, the Bible here in the verses that we just read, it says this. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. Are you a new person? Are you brand new? See, we somehow think that, oh, we get right with God and God just sort of takes us and cleans us up a little bit. No, he makes us brand new. Do you remember that moment you were made brand new? Do you remember? I'm not saying that moment you were made perfect, because I'm just going to stand here before you this morning and tell you I'm a sinner. I am a sinner. And I stand before you giving thanks to God that he forgives me of my sin, but I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. But I'm new. And when I was a 12-year-old boy, I became new, and I'll never forget that night. Do you remember the moment you became new? Listen, people tell me all the time, you know, I've been in church all my life. And I've just always had it. No, I'm sorry. I don't buy that. You may have been in church all your life, but I'm here to tell you, there's a moment. There has to be a moment in your life that the old leaves and the new comes. And if you don't remember that moment, I'm just going to challenge you and say this. It may not have happened in your life yet. I remember that moment. Just like I remember the day I got married. 32 years ago this past Thursday. Hallelujah. Me and Miss Tanya went to dinner. And left the children at home. 32 years ago, I remember my wedding. I remember when my first daughter was born. I remember when my second daughter was born. I remember those moments clear as a bell. I remember as a 12-year-old boy, the night Jesus came into my heart. See, there's a change that takes place when the gospel, the good news of Jesus takes over in our lives. And if you don't remember that moment, I just want you to know, it may be because it's never happened. Change takes place in the church when the gospel is preached, when it's taught, when it's read, when it's experienced. Change takes place. What does that change look like, church? Does that change? Is that going to change not just us, but is it going to change how we do things? Is it going to change the way in which the church lives its life? The greatest gift that we have is the gift of Jesus. It's the greatest gift we've ever been given. It's a gift that literally changes us from the inside out. What a powerful gift it is. It changes us. But the second thing that we find is that with the gospel, the church is entrusted with the gospel. It doesn't just change us, but we're then entrusted with the good news. Have you ever been entrusted with something? I mean, has somebody ever, maybe somebody told you something, they entrusted you in confidence with a secret. Maybe somebody shared something with you of value and asked you to watch it for them, take care of it for them. They entrusted you with something. I've shared this story here before. God taught me a very valuable lesson. When our first daughter was born, just a few months after she was born, she got salmonella. And we found ourselves up at Scottish Rite Hospital, not knowing what was going on, not knowing if she was going to survive or not. And I will never forget praying and saying, God, I know that this little girl belongs to you. And you have literally entrusted her to me. See, even my kids, they belong to God, but God entrusted me with them. What? To be a godly daddy, to be a godly father for them. What has God entrusted to you? Can I tell you what God has entrusted to you? God has entrusted the gospel to you. If you're a believer in this room this morning, you don't get an option here. God has entrusted to you the good news of Jesus Christ. You have that. He has entrusted that to you. You say, I don't know about that. Maybe not me. I'm not really gifted in that area. That's not my spiritual gift. Sorry. You still got it. You still got it. Whether you think it's your spiritual gift or not, you have it. It's been entrusted to you. He says it right here. Look at what he says. Verse 17, there again, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Listen to this next part. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He has committed that to us. We have the message. We have the good news. We are to be agents that are entrusted with that and be willing to share that good news with people around us. Can I ask you a question this morning? What are you doing with that which was entrusted to you? That which God has entrusted to you, what are you doing with it? Are you hiding it? Saving it? Protecting it? Or are you sharing it? See, God has entrusted to his children the greatest message of all, the greatest story of all. God has entrusted that to us. And that really leads into the third thing, that God wants to allow the gospel to change the church. We are proclaimers of the gospel. We are proclaimers of the gospel. See, we're not to just take that which God has entrusted to us and hide it or just sit on it. We are entrusted to proclaim that to the world. He says in verse 19, God has reconciled the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Look at verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God, listen to this, this is so awesome. If this doesn't fire you up, your wood's wet. I'm sorry. He says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. Folks, that's powerful. We are his ambassadors. An ambassador is a representative. We are to go and represent Christ. And our message is a message of reconciliation. It's a message of hope. It is the message of the good news about what Jesus has done for us. And I know that the things that I'm sharing with you this morning is not some kind of theological breakthrough for you. I mean, there's nobody going to go home and go, you know, I've never heard that before. But what I hope is that some of us will somehow realize the importance of what we're supposed to be doing as the church, as the people of God. We can come to this place and say, oh, wonderful message. Oh, yes, that's true. Praise the Lord. It's time we heard those evangelical messages. No, it's time that we as the church get up and start doing something with it. That's what it's about. How many people in this room this morning invited somebody to church this morning? Who would you invite to come this morning? How many people this week shared the love of Christ with a friend? Who this week talked to a coworker, a fellow student, and said, you want to know something? Jesus is the only hope. And the fact of the matter is, either we don't believe it, or we're just not willing to share it. And you may not like it. And you may not want to do it. But I got news for you. You've been giving that responsibility. Matthew 28 says, go and make disciples. Not if you feel like it, not if you like it, not if you want to. He says, go. Six-year-old Tommy came home from Sunday school. His mother said, what was your teacher's name? He said, I'm not sure. She said, you don't know your teacher's name? He said, no, ma'am, I don't know my teacher's name. He said, but I think it was Jesus' grandmama. I think it was Jesus' grandmama. She said, why do you say that? She said, because that's all she talked about was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. A lot of truth in that. What do we talk about? Is it Jesus? Is it Jesus? What does our tongue, what does our mouth confess? Psalms 119, verse 171 says this, may my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. May my tongue sing of your word, for all your commands are righteous. Is it Jesus? Is it Jesus? Pastor Don McKenzie got a late night call to the hospital. He was walking down the hall of the hospital and he said there wasn't a lot of people around. There was a few doctors and a few nurses, but there just wasn't many people in the hall. And he said all of a sudden came flying out of this room was a man who literally almost ran over him. He grabbed him and tackled him and pushed him up against the wall, and he got right in his face and he said, you're not going to believe it, but she's going to be okay. She is going to be okay. They told us she is going to be all right. I am so happy. And he ran down the hall. He grabbed a nurse and he said the same thing. And Don McKenzie said, I have no idea who that man was. Had no idea who the man was. And he went to the nurse and on to the doctor and to the next person. Went all the way down the hall. Just the same thing. You're not going to believe it, but she's going to be okay. Don said, you know, it's obvious. That man just received some good news. And he wasn't ashamed to tell anybody. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, for all of eternity, we will be saved. But yet we tell no one. We tell no one. You know, I'm grateful that 8 years ago, when I wound up at Piedmont Hospital, that the doctor didn't look at me and say, boy's got a lot of blocked arteries. We could fix it. No doubt. I know how. but I just don't think I want to today. When yet folks are dying and going to a devil's hell. And we have the answer. We have the hope. And we just say, I just don't think I want to today. Lord, help the church. Lord, help the church. The gospel is good news about hope, about life everlasting. And you guys, we have it. We've already won. The victory is already ours. The final chapter has already been written, and Jesus wins. I don't know about you, but the people that I love and care about and the people that I see every day, I want them to know that too. Let's don't keep it to ourselves. Let's quit trying to take it and hide it. Let's share it. Let's tell others about it. That's what I want to do. I don't know, maybe that's hard for you. Maybe because you don't have it to share. I don't know. And if that be the case, I want you to know Jesus loves you. And he gave his life on Calvary's cross for you. And you can have it today. You can receive it this morning. It is the good news. It is the good news of Jesus and his love. Would you pray with me? Father, this morning... We're grateful for your love and your goodness. We're grateful that you love us enough that you gave us your one and only Son. Father, this morning, I pray that somehow, some way, that we would not be like that life-saving station where we just gather and meet, where we just go through the motions, where we have our meetings and have our committees and have our teams. But yet the lives of the drowning doesn't matter. I pray, God, that we would not be that way. I pray, God, that you would place on our hearts and our minds those that need us and those that are without hope. And God, you would give us courage to go and to share Christ with them. Father, I don't know, maybe there's one here this morning and maybe they're the ones in need of this good news. Maybe they're the ones that are in need of Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Father, maybe there's people that are here this morning and maybe they have a loved one, someone that they see every day. Maybe it's a husband or a wife. Maybe it's a son or a daughter or a mom or a dad. Maybe it's a grandparent. Maybe it's an aunt, an uncle, a cousin. I don't know. But they don't know Jesus. And we know that Jesus is the only hope. And you want us to be your messengers of that hope. And so, God, I pray that you would just encourage us, strengthen us, to be willing to go and to share and to tell the good news of Jesus. So, Father, we pray that during this time, as we just reflect, as we respond, God, these are not my words. These are your words. And I pray, God, that we would just respond to you. That, God, maybe there's one here this morning that needs Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I pray, God, they would just, as soon as we begin to sing, they would come down this aisle and give us the opportunity to tell them about Jesus. They know right now, this moment, that if they were to die, if they were to leave this earth, that they would spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell. And this morning, they desire Jesus. I pray, God, this morning that they would just come down and, God, we'd be able to just talk to them and share with them that good news. Father, maybe this morning there's people that are here and they have those loved ones that they want to come and pray for. When we begin to sing, I pray they'll just fill this altar and come and pray for their lost friends, their lost family members. God, maybe there's someone here and just you've laid on their heart that they just need to come and repent and ask you to forgive them for their lack of willingness to be an effective witness, to share their faith. Oh, we know we're supposed to do that. We know we're supposed to make disciples. But when we really ask ourselves the question, who am I discipling? Who am I investing in? The answer comes back, no one. And I don't believe that honors you. So maybe we just need to come and confess our sin to you and say, God, I'm sorry. God, I haven't been discipling people the way that I should. I haven't been investing in the lives of others the way I should. And God, I just come and surrender that to you. I pray, God, that whatever's going on in the hearts and lives of people this morning, God, we would do business with you and we'd be obedient to you. As your church, as your people, oh God, just give us the strength to follow you and be obedient to you. And even the things that sometimes make us so uncomfortable, just give us the strength to do that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This morning, our worship team's gonna lead us and we're just gonna take a minute just to respond. I don't know how God has spoken to you. I have no idea. But if God has touched your heart and spoken to you, maybe you just want to come and pray. Maybe this morning you need to trust Christ. We have folks who can talk to you and share with you the good news of Jesus. Maybe you want to come and pray for a family member. Maybe you just need to come and say, God, I need you to forgive me. Whatever it is, this is God's time. This is between you and him. Nobody else. It's you and him. I encourage you. Don't leave this place this morning without doing business with our Creator, without doing business with God. All right? Stand with me. Let's pray.